teaching thing a little bit. One of the things I do is, when it does that, is, well, I guess it involves notes. You make notes, you take notes, you save notes. Okay, that's more than one thing. And I keep these notes and other reference material together, along with outlines and, you know, when I stuff it all in an envelope. You know, I do say, well, keep that note, use it for you. Well, you know, this note and little tea bag wrappers and the back of a bulletin and, you know, well, there's a recipe on there, so you got half of the back of a bulletin. And, you know, they keep it all together in an envelope. And then I write on the envelope what's in there. Seems to make sense to me. What scripture passages they use there, and what message themes, and then also where the messages may have been presented. Well, may have been presented, were presented. You know, they don't want to go somewhere and give a talk that they gave the same group of, you know, a few months back. I know it's possible it didn't sink in with a number of people the first time, but and to use an athletic term, it's just not good form. So this week, as I flip through my library of envelopes, one has a note on it that says, Part 1. Redeeming grace. And in my envelope of goodies is a bulletin from November 25th of 2018, a message titled, Who is this Jesus? And I'm sure most of you remember it. But just to give you a little recap, because I can recall various reactions we might see if we were to ask people about Jesus Christ. And I guess one thing I'm going to cut to the chase on another thing here right now. I'll refer to Jesus Christ, I'll refer to God, and I'll refer to the Holy Spirit. And since we're believers in the triune God, we can interchange them sometimes, okay? If we're talking about the Godhead and the believers in the triune God, if you want, we would ask people about Jesus Christ. Ask people about God. If you want to get some real interesting looks, ask them about the Holy Spirit. There were some responses that were filmed in sort of a man on the street type of interaction that was put together by some of you have heard of evangelist Ray Comfort. And maybe some of you have heard of actor Kirk Cameron. And they put this thing together, and it was what they did is they went up, I believe it was on a college campus, and they would go out and they'd say, well, what do you think about God? What do you think about Jesus Christ? And you gotta realize a lot of these people. And it was somewhat of a surprise, maybe. Sometimes, for those of us who maybe don't get off about as much, because so often the response would be, and I guess if you remember this from November 2018, the response would be, to me, Jesus is, and then blah, 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 blah. Or to me, God is. With the teaching here being that when we speak that way or think that way, that there's a graven image that we've created. And someone who is using that as their way of thinking. manufacturing their own virgin cotton, their own cotton. And it's pretty early in this book here that it says, don't do that. So, if we let that kind of thinking enter our mindset, not only is it an affront to God, it's erecting a barrier between us and God. And there are a lot of folks with that barrier, because they're dwelling on that question. They're asking themselves that question, who is Jesus to me? When the question they should be asking is a two-part question. Who is this Jesus? That's the title of the message for November 2018. What does he mean to me? Of course, our secular culture will do everything it can to divert attention from who God is and direct conversation back to the individual, focusing on your idea, what they think should your idea be, of what God should be in your mind. They're going to let you know what God is in their mind if God is in their. So often it's a made-up deal. Something that maybe makes someone feel good, justifying speech and thought and action, keeping that barrier between them and God. You know, I call it the phenomenon of I'm okay, you're okay, Jesus loves us. I don't care if you're rejecting me, be a good little boy, and just be all this. Because years ago, I used to read summaries of news shows and talk shows, and I still do. I'm not going to waste my time listening to people who are full of themselves and subscribe to things that go against my beliefs and values. The idea that truth is relative, and the idea that it relates mostly to how it affects them as an individual. I mean, you know, I can sit there and come up with all kinds of things. You know, one time, none says life begins at conception. And the other side of the debate says, well, my God doesn't say that. And the nun says, of course your God doesn't say that. Your God doesn't exist. So, but I can recall another show up with some celebrity, an actor today, I don't recall who, bragging about leaving her husband, shacking up someone new, justifying this by saying that, I figure God wants me to be happy. Well, it's discouraging that how many people, number one, listen to that. It's painful enough. But how many look at that situation with an awe, what a spiritual person. You think I'm kidding? I think it is that way out there. But she's a spiritual person, and she believes in God. Oh, well, whatever works for you. But as we transition from who is this Jesus to what does Jesus mean to me, I think it's quite important for us to remember as a people that subscribe to that doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, that in spite of things we maybe don't completely understand, maybe things we struggle with, when it's lighter things, there's things there that we don't completely understand, things we may struggle with. God is who God is. That would have been addressed with, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus to me? Who is this Jesus? Who is this God? God is who God is. And you know, my limited perception of God's creation is not going to change who God is. So for those who are seeking to know God and who are earnestly striving toward knowing who God is, and perhaps even maybe in some cases who God is not, I would encourage you to continue to be intentional in your efforts to grow closer to God. And if there's some here, and there are, who could not care less about who God is, or for those who wish to cast for themselves their own little God, nothing else. We're going to be here in that boat. We guess we grew up here. No people are. We want to cast for themselves their own little God. You know, I'm going to encourage them to open themselves to the reality of God. So just kind of going back again for a minute to November 2018, I'll direct you to a passage in Matthew, and I'm not going to read it, but it's Matthew 16:15. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And you know, I guess give serious thought as you ponder that. I'm going to address that to everyone here. Others who may hear the message, or that you may remember to mention this to me. Give serious thought to your answer about who God is. Give serious thought to your answer about who Jesus is. Because Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" He asked you and I, "Who do you say I am?" And he's asking everybody outside, "Who do you say I am?" So I say, give serious thought to your answer. It's kind of important. So if by chance you haven't answered that question yet, you know, I guess I'm going to encourage you to not leave this building today until you do. Okay? And I'm going to urge you to place your trust in the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, accepting that. It is what it is. And looking to grow in your knowledge of and faith in the triune God. Now, I think it's important to kind of reiterate some of the things that are related to in that previous. We've got our passage today from Jude. And Gary read our passage from Jude. Not really like this is a passage that I'm going to go in and dissect for y'all. But it kind of covers the basis of where we as Christians stand and some of what we face as believers. Because actually the thought process, when you look back at Jude 17, when we talk about scoffers following their ungodly passions, a lot of that wasn't the TV talk show that's a new age atheist or any of that. You know, a lot of those women was against people in the church itself. And following their own some other stuff in there, what does he mean to me? I'm going to start with the idea of truth. In John 14, we've got a familiar quote from Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is this not maybe the thing, the one thing that, again, even within the church, that we see people all of a sudden want to be healed? I know you don't want to see them. I know you're going to see. Trying to ground out the idea there is such a thing as truth. pushing that concept again, everything relative. And Jude warns us that this is happening, and Jude warns us this is going to happen. And that we need to be careful not to get caught up in it. You know, he's telling us to build ourselves up in our faith. This is something each of us in the Christian community really have an obligation to undertake, both as individual believers and interacting with each other as the church. Well, how about it? Jesus being true to you? How about our church? Jesus being truth to this congregation? Do we hold each other up? Do we build each other up? Do we hold each other accountable? I mean, not out of spite, you know, or some personal or selfish agenda or ambition or ungodly passion, but out of love for God and each other. Yeah, I heard a teacher or a speaker tell once about them, and I heard similar things more than once. So, church leaders. It's about a church split. You think those embroiled in that controversy were dwelling on the thought of truth, and they asked themselves, what does Jesus mean to me? Jesus means to me green carpet, apparently means red carpet to these other people. You know, they probably had a love there, not a lot of truth there. So let's talk about the love thing. Paul's letter to the church of Rome, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this is really probably going to be the most common response we hear to that question. What does Jesus mean to me? Love. I want to drag you back to that truth thing. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's loving God. John 3:16, God so loved the world. In my rather limited imagination, I'm seeing God the Father pointing over at Jesus the Son and saying, I love you. See Jesus over here? He's the way, the truth, and the life. He told you. It's in the Bible. God speaks to you. This is my son. But so we're coming off that truth thing, and we're moving into this love thing. Does Jesus mean love to you? Most Christians are going to say so. Yeah. At least I hope they would. But do they really believe it? I guess that's the question. Probably it comes to being on the receiving end of God's love. How about when it comes to reflecting that love? Jesus means love to you, but we stop, we put that barrier up. When Jesus means love, he only means Jesus, the love of God for us. We belong to Jesus Christ. Christ has been paid, I hope you do. Then, Jesus meaning love means we also have to express that love of Jesus Christ. So, the others see that love, and they see you or I. And it's the words of Jesus from John 15:12, love each other as I have loved you. So how about you? Do you love each other? Do you love others? Or are you more like me, you kind of tolerate them? And, you know, one, we're talking about others. Paraphrase a familiar passage. You, you know, when we're loving others, we're tolerating them. Do we forget about that log in our eye while pointing to the servant? See, we all like to remember that Jesus died for our sin. So we have to remember as well that Jesus died for the sin of the other person, too. Then they read from Philippians 3:9. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith. Does Jesus mean to you righteousness? With all the teaching through the years about Jesus actually being our righteousness, there are still those today that would have us think that we have to earn our righteousness through religious rituals and some sort of charitable activities. Yet the Bible is clear that we cannot attain the righteousness required of us on our own. That Jesus is our righteousness. So, how about you? Does Jesus mean righteous? Sins in favor of the old I'm a good person and the old church thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I want you to be a good person. And I want you to be a part of the church. You know, but without Jesus, that's just a promise. That's just a promise. You know, there are a number of other things that Jesus can mean to us as we walk this earth. You know, I know many who draw great joy from their relationship with God. But to be truthful, I also know many who see it as something to do. How about you? Do you have that great joy? Don't worry, be happy, joy. I mean, you have that joy. Even when you do that, you know, I don't have people who have great burdens. And many of them have what? The greatest. Because Jesus is their hope. Many also see Jesus as a source of strength, a source of peace, a source of wisdom. You know, when you sit around here and, you know, and there's people, and you look around here, there are people here that are going through things that just are really, really, really going have that great joy? Because of that hope, they have strength. Jesus means to them a source of strength, a source of peace, knowing that, you know, the day is going to come when the walk on earth is done. And the peace of knowing that, you're going to go home to be with God. If you know who Jesus is and who he is to you. You say Jesus is yours. Now, if you're out here still trying to do the old, to me, Jesus is game, well, if you've got that peace, you better use Jesus as a source of wisdom and examine who he is. And a lot of people use him as a source of wisdom. Then, you know, commonly, from an eternal standpoint, well, you know, I'll read from John 5:24. I say to you who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So, just a few things to think about when you think, what does Jesus mean? Me. Because the noise of the world is going to try to drown out your thoughts as you ponder the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And as you ponder what they mean to you, as you come in touch with who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. I mean, the ways of the world, the evil one, they're going to try to divert you from the joy of knowing the triune God. So by being sure of who Jesus is, by growing in the knowledge of what he means, you'll be able to, with God's help, overcome the world, its ways, and its ways. So let's pray together. Lord God, we ask for guidance, protection, and blessings for this congregation and for your people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said,